Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Kof Yod Het. Today's daf has been dedicated by Nisim and Elias Bassan in honor of their dear mother Sarah Bat Malka. Ruach Hashem Tanichena Began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Kuf Yud Zayin, four lines from the bottom. And the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita. Kama Se'udot Chayav Adam Le'echol B'Shabbat. How many meals is one obligated to eat on Shabbat? Gemara says, Shalosh. Tanakama holds three meals. The Bi Hidka Omer Arba. The Bi Hidka comes along and says, no, you're obligated to have four meals. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ushnehem Mikra Echad Darshu. Both Tanakama and Rabbi Hidka learned their law from the same source. It says, Vayomer Moshe Echluhu Hayom. Ki Shabbat Hayom Lashem Hayom Lo Timseu Basadeh. Regarding the man, when the man fell, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, eat it Hayom, because Shabbat Hayom, because today is Shabbat, and Hayom today, you will not find it in the fields, because it's not going to fall on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Hidka Sabar, Rabbi Hidka holds, Hanet Lata Hayom, when the Pasuk regarding the man says Hayom three times, Levar Me'urta. It's not including the night, which means really you have to have one meal for every time the Pasuk says Hayom. So the Pasuk only says three times. So he says, yeah, but this Pasuk was regarding besides the Friday night meal. So besides Friday night, you have to have an additional three because of the Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. And therefore, he learns you have to have in total four meals on Shabbat. Verabbanan sabre behade de urta. He says, no, it's including the evening meal. And therefore, when the Pasuk says three times Hayom, it alludes to the three meals that one has to have. So therefore, each rabbi learns the Pasuk according to his opinion. Tenan, we have a Mishnah. It's our Mishnah. Nafna deleka belele Shabbat. A fire broke out in the person's house on Friday night. Matzilin mazon shalosh se'udot. You're able to save the amount of food for three meals. My love, de lo achal. Must be talking about where he didn't eat Friday night yet, and therefore they're allowing him to save for the entire Shabbat. So you see that the Mishnah must be going like the rabbis that say that the meals on Shabbat are three. Gemara says, lo, de achal. It's talking about where he ate already on Friday night. And the Mishnah is telling you, if he ate on Friday night, so now he can only save an additional three meals. So that shows you that actually you have to have four meals on Shabbat, so you have no proof from our Mishnah. Shacharit, the fire broke out in Shacharit, Matzilin, Mazon, Shte Se'odot. So then the Mishnah said you save two meals. My love, Delo Achal. Must be talking about where he didn't eat, so that Shacharit. And they're only letting him save two more meals to tell you that what? That on Shabbat and altogether you have to have three meals. It says, lo, de'achal. I'll tell you now, it's talking about where he ate Seudat Shacharit, and they allow him to take out two additional meals, like Rav Hidka, that there's four meals. B'mincha, the Mishnah continues. At mincha time, matzilin mazon Seudah achat. You're able to save one Seudah. So we imply that that's like the rabbis. My love, de lo akal. He didn't eat yet, so that should be sheet. And therefore, we let him save one last meal. Gemara says, lo, de akal. It's talking about where he ate Seuda Shlishi, and we let him save one more, because according to that Hidka, you have to have an additional fourth meal. So therefore, from the Mishnah so far, you can't prove either way. Now there's an interesting Tosfot here on the top of the Daf, when he says, Bimincha Matzilin Mazon Seuda Achat, that in Mincha time, you would save one meal. So he writes, Mikan Mashma, from here it's Mashma, Dizman Achilat Shlishit B'Shabbat, Hi Min HaMincha Ulma'la. From here you learn what time to eat Seuda Shlishit. The time to eat Seuda Shlishit would be from Mincha time and on. Ve'lo Ke'otam Shemachalkim Seuda Shachrit Umbarchim Bentayim. So it's not like those that had a custom in the Tosfot time to split the morning meal into two. They would stop the meal, make Birkat HaMazon, and then wash again and make the Berachot again, and they would count that as Seuda Shlishit. From here, Tosfot said that doesn't sound legitimate, because our Mishnah is telling you that the Mincha, at Mincha time, that's when you could get to save one more meal, implying that Seuda Shlishit is at Mincha time. In any event, so far we haven't proved from our Mishnah either way. So comes the Gemara and says, "Amidiktani sefa." But if you look at the end of our Mishnah, the end of our Mishnah said, "Rabbi Yosef Omer le'olam masilin mazon gimul seudot." Rabbi Yosef's opinion was that regardless of what time of the day on Shabbat the fire breaks out, you can always save three seudot. Michlal implying the Tanakama Shlosha Seudot Svirale. Now you see a clear proof that must be that the first opinion of the Mishnah was also talking a maximum of three. Because Rabbi Yosef said, I argue on you, you could always save three. Implying that the whole discussion was three Seudot and not four. So the Gemara says, Ela Mehavarta. Ela, we have to go back to the original answer. Let's look at the original answer was what? That our Mishnah is actually following the opinion of Hakamim, which means you really do have a proof from our Mishnah, from the fact that the Rabbi Yosef said you always save three. Must be Tanakama was also talking about three, and therefore when the Gemara started off and said that the Mishnah sounds like it's going like the rabbi's opinion, this is true. So the Gemara says, Matnitin delo k'Rabbi Hidka. Oh, so you want to tell me that our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Hidka? You want to say that he doesn't have a source? What do you mean? V'haditnan. We have another Mishnah. What does this Mishnah say? Mi sheyesh lo mazon shtei se'udot. There's a poor man. If let's say he has at least two meals, he has two meals in his storage to eat. Lo yitol min ha-tamhui. He has no right to take from tamhui. What was the tamhui? So that she tells us in the olden days they had a system where they had, let's say, a big ke'ara. A big, we'll call it a pot or a bowl, and the charity collectors would go around to the wealthy people and they would donate food, and they would place the food in this ke'ara, this tamhui, and they would give it out to the poor people. How much would they give? Well, a normal person would eat two meals a day, so therefore the anim were able to take from the tamhui two meals per day. However, the Mishnah says, if a poor man already has two seudot, he's not allowed to take food from this tamhui. Why? Because it's gezel. Because it's stealing. This food was allotted only for people that don't have a minimum of two meals. Right? That's the tamhui system. Now, mazon arba esre, if a person had 14 meals in his storage, lo yitol min hakupa. He cannot take from the system of charity called the kupa. What was the kupa? So that she tells us that they used to collect money, and this money was used specifically to support the poor class But the poor class that came from, let's say, important families, the important families that might have been embarrassed to go to the Tamhui to take their two meals, so every Friday they would give them money in order to give them enough food for the entire week. So that would be two meals a day for 7 days. So therefore, 14 meals. So the Mishnah said, if somebody has less than 14, they could take from the kupa. But if you have 14 or more, it'd be considered stealing if they take from the kupa. Let them finish those 14 meals. Then when they run out, then they can get the next week. But they have enough to hold them over for the week. So the Gemara now says, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Mani, who's the author of this Mishnah? Lo Rabbanan, the Lo Rabbi Hidka. This cannot be going, not like the Rabbi's opinion, and not like Rabbi Hidka's opinion. Why? Ida Banan Hamsare Havyan. If it's according to the Rabbis, really a person needs 15 meals a week, because they all eat 3 on Shabbat. So therefore, if a guy only has 14, he should be qualified to take from the kupa, because he needs one extra meal. Now, Rabbi Hidka, and if it's going like Rabbi Hidka, Shitzare Havyan, really you need 16, because he says you have 4 meals on Shabbat. So the question then is, this Mishnah, who is it going like? So the Gemara says, Le'olam Rabbanan. I'll tell you that really this Mishnah is following the opinion of the Hakamim that say 3 meals on Shabbat. Damrinan le, and they tell the poor man, my deba'it lemechal ba'apuke Shabbeta, that meal that you were planning on eating on Motzei Shabbat on Saturday night, because that was the custom, they would eat one meal at night and one meal in the day. So he has 14 meals. So they would tell the Ani, we're giving you 14 meals. You need 3 for Shabbat? So the meal that you were planning on eating Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, Achle b'Shabbeta, eat it early. And therefore, you'll get to eat 3 meals on Shabbat. You have your Friday night, you have your Shabbat day, and then eat the additional one, so you won't eat on Motzei Shabbat. Right? So therefore, all you need is 14. So the Gemara says, Lema Rabbanani, the Lord of Yehidka. So you tell me that this Mishnah, again, can only follow the Rabbi's opinion and not the Yehidka? The Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rav Hidka. You can even say that this Mishnah is following Rav Hidka. How? Damrinan le. So we tell him, Mai deba'it lemechal bima'ale Shabbeta. So we tell the poor man, what you were planning on eating on Friday, meaning Friday's meal, achle le'urta. So store that meal for the night. And therefore, according to Rav Hidka, we give him the 14 meals. Where do we make up the extra two? We tell him, Friday's meal, so then already use that for Friday night, right? Then we're giving you the 2 for Shabbat, so use 2 more, and then Saturday night's meal, eat early, and therefore you'll have 4 meals. So the Hidka can also manage it with the meals that they're giving him. So the Gemara says, V'chule yomad ma'ale Shabbeta b'ta'anita mutvinaneh. What, so you're going to make the poor man starve the whole Friday? Miskin, the guy wants to eat something. So you tell him, no, he has to fast the entire Friday to save that meal for the Friday night? That's unethical. You can't make a man starve like that. So the Gemara now assumes that the Mishnah must be then the opinion of the rabbis. So Gemara says, no. Elahamani. You know, I'll tell you, the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Akibahi. The Mishnah is following Rabbi Akiba. Look at the Rashi. Elahamani Rabbi Akibahi. We read that Rashi inside. Ul'inyan Saudat Shabbat. Regarding Saudat Shabbat, Beman de Efshar le Ikale Bemarke Rabbanan vi Ikale Bemarke Rabbi Hidka. Which means, really, regarding the Saudat Shabbat, you can go either way. Either tell him to, you know, skip the Motzei Shabbat meal, skip the Friday meal. Umiyu haidet tzarich lebiriyot. But in truth, the Gemara is going to tell us that this man that needs to come on to charity, yaaseh Shabbato chol. The Gemara is going to tell us that Rabbi Akiva holds, if you have to come on to charity, better to make your Shabbat like a weekday, meaning eat only two meals and don't have to collect charity. And the statement that we'll read inside the Gemara, De'amar, Rabbi Akiva taught, Aseh Shabbatecha chol, make your Shabbat like a weekday, De'al tetzarech labiriyot, and don't make yourself needed or needy to the people. Which means like this, if a person has 14 meals, even though he needs an additional one for Shabbat, according to the rabbis, or according to the Fhidka, he needs two additional meals, make your Shabbat whole. Better not to take from charity, and make your Shabbat like a weekday and only eat two meals. And therefore, in such a case, don't take the extra meal. Don't take an extra two meals. And that's why the Mishnah is telling you the magic number is 14. If you have 14, finish. Do not take from the kupah. What do you mean? I need 15. Better make your Shabbat like a Tuesday and eat two meals than to go now and ask for that extra 14 meals that they're going to give you. No. The magic number is 14. Ayref Hidka, you need two more meals. Make your Shabbat whole and don't go to the kupah and take that money. So therefore that Mishnah that said 14 is going really like the B, Akiba. Now again, that's what she was telling us. If a person has the ability, he has the money, of course, Hakamim will tell you, have three meals. The Chidka will tell you, if you have the money, b'mande efshar le, have four meals on the Shabbat. However, we're talking about a poor man. He's left with 14. You're left with 14? Don't take tzedakah. Have two meals on Shabbat. V'haditnan, we have another Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "En pochatin la'ani ha'over b'makom le'makom." If there's a poor man, let's say he's traveling, he's an itinerant ani. He's traveling from one city to another. So he gets to a certain city during the day. So it says the charity, the people that dispense the charity must give him a certain allotment. How much must they give him? So they could not give him less than kikar, a loaf of bread. Bepundion, that she says is a coin, right? The amount of bread that you can buy for a pundion, midalit se'in besela, when bread is being sold for four se'ah of bread for one se'la. Would you give me the exact proportion of bread that you have to give him? A pundion's worth of bread that's selling on the market for four se'ah for a se'la. The calculation comes out, is bottom line, you're giving him enough to eat for two se'udot. You're giving him enough bread, according to this measurement, that he'll be able to have a meal during the day, and also a meal that night. So the Gemara says, Lan, if he decides to sleep over, notnim lo panasat lina. They give him an additional allotment called the allotment for those that sleep over. Panasat lina. Now, the Gemara is going to ask a question. What do you mean? He doesn't need food if he sleeps over. You gave him two meals. So he has one for the day, and he has one for the night. Why, if he decides to sleep over, do you have to give him an additional panasat? The Gemara will analyze that in a moment. Ve'im Shabbat, and if he comes to the town on Shabbat, notnim lo mazon gimel se'udot. Ah, clearly it says we give him enough food for how many se'udot? Three se'udot. Le'mar barani velo Rav Hidka. That's going according to obviously the rabbi's opinion and not Rav Hidka. So the Gemara says, no, le'olam Rav Hidka. I can tell you it's going like Rav Hidka. Kegon di'ika se'uda bahadeh. We're talking about where the guy came with one Sa'udah.
He has one in his storage. Now we know if you have one, so you could still qualify to get charity. So they give him an additional two seudot. So now, or three seudot, like the Mishnah says, right? So three plus the one that he has, so he goes four seudot. Damrina, and then they tell him, Hadiika bahadach. Listen, the one that you have by you, akhle. Right? So then you eat it. So now the question then would be, he's going to eat in the course of Shabbat all his seudot, right? The three that they gave him, right? Plus the one that he had. So now when he leaves the next day, he doesn't have anything. He's sleeping over, right? Now he leaves the next day, he doesn't have any food. So the Gemara says, V'chi azir, berekan azir. Well, we're going to send the guy now empty-handed? So the Gemara says, no, demalvina le'seudah bahadeh. No, in the morning, he qualifies again for another two seudot. Because bottom line, he doesn't have anything. And the law is, if you don't have anything, and he's passing through the city, you give him two more. So the Gemara says, no problem. He'll get his three for Shabbat. The one that he has already, that makes it four. Next day, he doesn't have anything left over. No problem. The charity people will give him an additional two seudot. Comes the Gemara and says, my panasat lina. What did it mean when it said in the Mishnah that if he stays overnight, they give him what's called the panasah for those that sleep over? It can't be talking about food, because already in the day they gave him his two meals. So he has enough food to hold him over for the night. So what is this panasat lina? So the Gemara says, Amar Abba, Puria ubesadya. It's talking about they give him a bed and pillows and comforters, which means that's panasat lina. You give him a bed where he can sleep on. It's not physical sustenance. It's talking about the bedding that he needs to sleep over. So if he stays over, the charity dispensers are obligated to make sure that he has a place to sleep. So let's just review what we got until here. Comes out, we have a very important mahloket between Chachamim and Rav Hidka le'anyan. How many seudot one has to have on Shabbat? Chachamim say three seudot, Rav Hidka says four seudot. Both learn it from the same pasuk. Hayom, hayom, hayom. It says by the man three times. Chachamim say each hayom comes and teaches you the obligation of another seudah. Rav Hidka agrees, but it's talking about already after you ate on Friday night. You have to have an additional three meals. We said that our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Chachamim. You saw that from the fact that Rabbi Yosef said, you always get to save three seudot, implying that the Chachamim held that the shiur of Shabbat is three seudot. We then brought another Mishnah that we said is following Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That what? Aseh Shabbatecha chol. Better to make your Shabbat mundane, which means everybody would agree to that. Hakamim and Rav Hidka are only talking about people that have. If you have, eat three or eat four. However, if you don't have, so then already better to eat two meals on Shabbat and don't make yourself a charity case. Then we brought another Mishnah, and we said that this Mishnah can also be going like Rav Hidka, because it's talking about when the Ani came through the town, he had one meal. They give him an additional three, and therefore that gives him four for the Shabbat. Of course, the halakha, we know that we follow the shita of the Hakamim, that one is obligated to have a minimum of three seudot on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and continues, and the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Ke'arot she'achal bahen arbit. The ke'arot, those are the dishes, let's say, the bowls that he ate from, arbit, Friday night, maddihin, or maddihan, le'echol bahem shahrit. You're allowed to clean the dishes after the meal on Friday night in order to use them for the next meal, meaning the morning meal. Shahrit, the ke'arot that you use in shahrit, maddihan le'echol bahem batzaurayim. You could wash those dishes in order to eat the afternoon meal. Batzaurayim maddihan le'echol bahem b'mincha. Right? And the morning meal's dishes, you're able to clean them in order to eat the mincha meal, meaning the third meal. Mina mincha ba'ilach. But from mincha time and on, shuv eno madiyah. Then already you're not allowed to clean the dishes anymore. Because since there's no more meals, so now by cleaning the dishes after Saudash and Ishit, so now already it's preparing for Motzei Shabbat. And on Shabbat you're not allowed to toil for the next day. So therefore we only allow you to clean from Friday night to Shabbat morning. From Shabbat morning to Shabbat afternoon. Once you get to Shabbat afternoon, already you cannot clean those dishes. You have to wait until Motzei Shabbat to clean them. So comes the Gemara and says, Aval, however, kosot, the kitoniyot, the sluchiyot, these are all types of drinking vessels. All type of drinking vessels, madiyah veholech, kol hayom kulo. You can clean as many glasses as you want throughout the Shabbat. Why? Lefi she'en keva l'shtiyah. There is no limit on how many drinks a person drinks a day. A person is constantly drinking. And therefore, even after Saudash Shlishit, right? He has some glasses. You wanna clean them glasses? Clean them. Why? Because there's no limit. A person is constantly drinking. When it comes to eating, so he has his, you know, his kavua meals. However, when it comes to the drinking, he can clean as much as he wants. Okay, so again, this Braita told us, the karot that he ate arbit, he's allowed to clean them in shacharit. Shacharit, he's able to clean them for the afternoon. And the afternoon, he can clean it for mincha. However, after mincha time already, so then already a person doesn't have any more meals, so he's not allowed to clean anymore. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishum bar kapara. Kol ha-mekayem shalosh se'odot b'shabbat. Anybody that fulfills shalosh se'odot, eats the three meals on Shabbat, nitzol meshalosh puranuyot. He's actually saved from three punishments, or from three calamities. Mehebloh shel Mashiach, he'll be saved from the birth pains of the Mashiach. Umedina shel Gehinam, he will be saved from the punishment of Gehinam. Umemilchemet Gog u'Magog, and also be saved from the war of Gog u'Magog. These three situations are perilous situations, and the situation with a lot of tzar, a lot of anguish. By eating the three meals, measure for measure, Borei Olam says he's going to relieve you from these three situations. Now the Gemara says, how do we know that he's going to be saved from the birth pains of the Mashiach? When we say birth pains of the Mashiach, we refer to that in the times of the Mashiach, it's going to be very difficult. The Chachamim compare it to a lady giving birth, that her pains get successively stronger as she gets closer to giving birth. Therefore, the pain during the time of the Mashiach era gets stronger and more sharp as the Mashiach's arrival comes closer. They call it Hible Mashiach. So how do we know you're going to be saved from that? By eating the Seudot on Shabbat. Ketivacha, it says by Shabbat Yom. Which means, we saw the Pasuk, Vayom er Moshe, Ichlu Hayom. Right? He said, eat the man today. Uchtivatam, and it says by Mashiach, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem, Et Eliyah Navi, Lefne Bo Yom Hagadol. Which means God says, I'm going to send Eliyahu HaNavi in order to herald the coming of the Mashiach before the day, the great day comes. So you see, the day of Mashiach is also called Yom. And it says by Shabbat, Yom. So therefore you see, if you celebrate and eat on this Yom, you will be saved from the other Yom. B'dinai shel Geinam, how do we know that a person is going to be saved from Geinam? Ketivacha, it says by Shabbat again, Yom. Uchtivatam, and it says by the reference of the day of Geinam, the Pasuk says, Yom Evra Hayom Ahu. That day is a day of great anger. It's a day that one will end up in Geinam. And therefore we see, since it calls it a day, and it says by Shabbat day, you'll be saved from that as well. From the war of Gog Umagog, which it seems is a great war, so the Gemara says, a Shabbat it says Yom, Uchtiva Tam, Biyom Ba Gog. On the day that Gog, that's the king, came. So it says Biyom. So again we have a connection between Shabbat and Gog Umagog. So we see eating the three meals actually saves a person from these three situations. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Yosef, Kol ha-me'anek et ha-shabbat, anybody that is me'anek, the Shabbat literally means enjoys the Shabbat. Yes, so the Gemara says, notim lo nachala b'li metzarim. He benefits to have a plot of real estate without borders, which means he'll have an unlimited amount of blessing. Shene'emah, as the pasuk says in the Navi, as titanag al Hashem. When a person has onig, what is this onig referring to? This is referring to onig Shabbat. Because the pasuk then says, Vekarat al Shabbat onig. So therefore we know that this pasuk is referring to the onig of Shabbat, the enjoying of Shabbat. It says, Vehirkavticha al bamo te'ares. God will elevate you al bamo te'ares, on the high places of the land. Ve'achalticha, and God will feed you Nahalat Yaakov Avicha. He will feed you the lot of Yaakov, your forefather. So the Gemara says, Lo ke Avraham. He's not going to give you the lot of Avraham. Shekatuv bo, kum etalech ba'ares le'orka. By Avraham, God told him, go inherit the land, walk the length of the land and the width of the land. But it was only the land of Israel. ולא כי יצחק שכתוב בו כי לך וזרעך אתן את כל הארצות האל. And not like Yitzhak, where God promised him all the lands that he appointed for him, but no more. However, אלא כי יעקב שכתוב בו ופרצת ימה וקדמה וצפונה ונגבה. God promised Yaakov Avinu that he's going to have a property without boundaries. It's going to be expanded to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And therefore the Pasuk says that anybody that enjoys the Shabbat, they give him a nachala like Yaakov Avinu. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, as tit'anag al Hashem, etc. Ve'achalticha nachalat Yaakov Avicha. He's going to get a share like Yaakov. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak taught, Nitzol mishi'bud galuyot. He's going to be saved from the exile. It seems that in the exile, the Jewish people are going to be subjugated, and that's going to be obviously a painful experience. So those that are me'anek Shabbat are going to be saved from the subjugation of the goyim to us during exile. Ketivacha, how do we know? It says by Shabbat, Virkavticha al bamo te'ares. It says, and you will ride on the high land, on the high road, uchtivatam, and it says, ve'ata al bamotemo tidroch, and you will tread on their backs, which means you will be above the goyim, which means keeping the Shabbat saves a person from exile. On the contrary, the Jewish people ride on the backs of the goyim. And that's why, because the pasuk says, al bamo te'ares, and we have another pasuk that says, al bamotemo tedroch, on their backs you will tread. It's referring to onik Shabbat. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ha-me'anek et ha-shabbat, anybody that enjoys the Shabbat, notnim lo mishalot libo. They deliver to him his heart's desires. Whatever he wants, he gets. The pasuk says if a person enjoys Hashem, and this is referring to Shabbat, v'yiten lecha mishalot libecha, God will give you your heart's desires. So comes the Gemara and says, on exit, this pleasure, this enjoyment, In Yodei Amahu. I don't know what it is. So it says, which means the pasuk just says, V'tanag al Hashem. What does V'tanag al Hashem mean? What type of owning is this? It says, Kishivu Omer, when the pasuk says, V'karata la Shabbat onig, we have the pasuk that clearly writes, V'karata la Shabbat onig, right? That's the pasuk in Yeshaya. So clearly we learn that what? That this pasuk is referring to onig Shabbat. Heve Omer is onig Shabbat. Bema me'anigo. How do you have onig Shabbat? What do you do? So Rav Yehuda bered Rav Shmuel bar shelat meshme derav amar betavshil shel teradin. You eat a special meal, a dish of beets, v'dagim gedolim, and big fish, v'rashe shumin, and the heads of garlic. It seems all these items were delicacies in the olden days. And therefore, what the Gemara is trying to say is you save the best food for Shabbat. So you put out the special food. Rabbi Chiya bar Asher Amar Rav, Afilu Davar Mu'at. Even something less significant, even something small, V'lichbod Shabbat Asa'o. But you made it for the honor of the Shabbat, Hare Ze Onig. That's considered already that you enjoyed the Shabbat, that you onig ma'anig Shabbat. Ma'i, what is that small item? Amara Papa, Kasa De'arsana. Kasa De'arsana, that she tells us, is a small fish that they used to fry it in its oil. And therefore it was not the most fancy of dishes. It was an inferior dish. But even if you make that little fish, kasad arsana chmod Shabbat, you fulfill the mitzvah of onig. We explained from the Gaon that he says that when it says in the Gemara, kol me'aneg et ha-Shabbat, it's not only referring to eating and drinking, like the Gemara says. Because then the Gemara should have used the language, kol me'aneg et atzmo b'Shabbat. Anybody that enjoys himself on Shabbat. But the Gemara says, kol me'aneg et Shabbat, you're giving pleasure to the Shabbat. How does one give pleasure to the Shabbat? By spiritually tapping in to the resources of the day. Meaning, through going to the synagogue, through tefillah, through Talmud Torah. On Shabbat, one has an additional neshama. And therefore, he has like a double boost in order for him to take in from the kiddushah of the day. That's being ma'anig the Shabbat. Honoring the Shabbat by doing what you're supposed to do on Shabbat. Not only pampering your physical by eating and sleeping and singing, but actually honoring the Shabbat to do things that's really lichbot Shabbat, which is to learn and to spiritually advance oneself. As the Zohar says, that on Motzei Shabbat, the Beit Din Shel Mala is the Neshama. What did you learn today on Shabbat? What novel Chiddush in Torah did you uncover? Amar Rav Chiya, but Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Kol HaMeshaber Shabbat Kilchato. Anybody that is Shomer Shabbat, keeps the Shabbat according to the Halakha, Afilu Oved Avodah Zara Kedor Enosh, even if that fellow were worshipping or worshipped Avodah Zara, like in the generation of Enosh, that was where the generations began to worship Avodah Zara, Mohalim lo, God forgives him. Shemirat Shabbat has the ability to atone even for the worst of sins, Avodah Zara. Shne'emar, the pasuk says, and I quote, this pasuk over here is found in Yeshaya. And it says, Ashre enosh yaaseh zot. Fortunate is a man that does this. Uben adam yahazikba. And a man will hold on to this practice. Shomer Shabbat mehalelo. If he protects the Shabbat mehalelo from desecrating it. And the pasuk is telling us that what? Ashrei Enosh. It's telling you, even if you worshipped Avodah Zarah, like the generation of Enosh, which was in the early history of the Torah, still God will forgive you because you protected the Shabbat. And the Gemara says, Al tikre mehalelo. Don't read the pasuk only that you are Shomer Shabbat from desecrating it.
Ela mahulo.
Read it as if it said, I forgive you. God absolves the person because of his Shemirat Shabbat. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, El Male Shamru Yisrael Shabbat Rishona, if the Jewish people would have kept the first Shabbat that they were commanded in the Midbar, Lo Shalta Bahem Uma Velashon, they would not have been subject to any enemies and any foreign powers. Shnei Emar, and how do we know they were Mechalil that first Shabbat? Vehi Bayom HaShevi'i, it was on the seventh day, Yatzi'u Min Ha'am Lilkot. Some Jews went out on that Shabbat to gather the man, where Moshe told them that it's not going to fall on Shabbat, but they went out anyway. Uchtiv Batre, and then what does it say? Vayavo Amalek. So you see that there's a direct correlation between the enemies that fight against the Jewish nation and Hilul Shabbat. When the nation is Mechalel Shabbat, that gives the enemies power in order to attack. Hence, Shemirat Shabbat is a protection for our people. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, El Male Meshamerin Yisrael Shte Shabbatot Kilchetan. If the Jewish people would keep two Shabbatot according to the halakha, we can get all Am Yisrael to keep two Shabbatot, Miyad Negalin, immediately, the Mashiach would come and we would be redeemed. Shnei Emar, as the Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is in Yeshayah as well, Ko kicho amar Hashem lasarisim asher yishmeru et Shabbatotai. This is what said to the princes, the Jewish people, that will keep et Shabbatotai, my Shabbatot, meaning in plural, ubaharu kasher chafatzdi umahazikim bebriti. And then the pasuk writes after that, uchtiv batre vehavioti melhar kochi. If they do that, I will bring them to my holy mountain in Jerusalem and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So we see that the coming of Mashiach is also directly linked with Shemirat Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, Yehe chelki me'ochle shalosh se'odot b'Shabbat. I want my lot in Olam Haba to be with those people that eat three meals on Shabbat. It seems in the B.O.C.'s time, people were delinquent, and they weren't eating the Shalosh Se'odot. Maybe they were eating the Friday night and the Shabbat morning, but in the afternoon, the Se'odah Shalishi, could be they were lax on it. So the B.O.C. wanted to motivate everybody. So he said, I want my share in Olam Haba to be with those people that eat the three meals on Shabbat. Amar the B.O.C. The B.O.C. then said, Yehe chelki migomrei halel bechol yom. I want my share in Olam Haba to be with those people that finish the entire halel every day. So comes the Gemara and says, what do you mean, Ini, we have a contradiction? Ve'amar mor, we learn, hakore halel bechol yom. If a person reads the halel every day, hareze meharef umgedef, it's as if Chas v'Shalom is committing blasphemy against God. Why? Because the whole purpose of the Hallel is to recognize and to praise God for the miracles that He does. However, if one says it every day, so he cheapens it. So he makes the Hallel as if it's not a special thing anymore, and therefore it takes away all the novelty and the excitement, let's say, of what the Hallel is. That she says, person that reads it not in the proper time, it looks like he's just singing a song, he's just reading the words without any meaning, and as if he's making fun. So what does the B.O.C. say? I wish my Halek and Olam Haba would be with those that say the Halel every day. What do you mean? You're not supposed to say the Halel every day. Says Kika Amreinan the Pesukei Dezimra. No, we're talking about saying the Pesukei Dezimra. Those are the Mizmorim that we read from the Tehillim every morning in the beginning of the prayers, that she says, for example, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Tashem in Hashamayim, and Hallelujah, Hallelujah, El Bekocho. Those people that say the Pesukei de Zimra every day, the songs of praise to God, that is a great zechut. Nabi Yosef says, I want my Helik and Olam Abad to be with those people that say the Pesukei de Zimra, obviously with Kavanah. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Yehe Helki, I want my share in Olam Abad to be Mimitpalelim im Dimdume Hamma, with those that pray with the redness of the sun. Dimdumeh comes from the Hebrew word Adom. Adom is red. That they pray when the sun is red, meaning at sunrise, when the sun rises in the morning, it's red. Mean they pray at Netzach Hamad Amida, and they pray Mincha in the afternoon, right at sunset, when the sun is setting. That's the most opportune time to pray. And therefore, I wish my Chilek will be with those people. Comes again with Amar Chaya Baraba. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, mitzvah litpalel im dimdume hama. It's a mitzvah to pray while the sun is red, which means early in the morning and right before sunset. Amar Rabbi Zera me'ekera. Where's the pasuk to substantiate this? Pasuk says, yiraucha im shamish, that the people will be will fear you im shamish, with the sun. Meaning, when the sun is rising, and before the moon comes out, dor dorim, for eternity. Which means, when the sun is rising, in Shamish, and before the moon comes out, right before sunset, as well. Rabbi Yosef said, Yehe qilki mimete bechone me'ayim. He said, I want my share to be with those that die from intestinal problems. The Amar Mor, because we have a statement that says, Ruban shel tzaddikim, the majority of righteous people, metim bechone me'ayim, they die of intestinal problems. Now, what is the reason for that? So that she says, shemit yasirin biyisurin. It seems that it's a terrible punishment to have intestinal problems, and it's very painful. So that she says, that serves as a kapara for all the avonot, and therefore they go up clean. Tosfot has a different understanding. He quotes from the Midrash, and he says that since food in a person's system is physical, and therefore God wants to purify the tzaddikim, that they should be more like angels. So God gives the tzaddikim intestinal problems, in Tosfot's word, lihiyot nikiim v'teorim kemalachei asharet, in order that she can be pure, there will be no food in their system, that they'll have the level like malachim. Amar Rabbi Yosef, yehe chilki mimete bederech mitzvah. Let my share be with those that die on the way to do a mitzvah. Now, of course, he does not mean that when a person goes to do a mitzvah, he will die, because we know that if a person goes to do a mitzvah, shaliach mitzvah, enam nizukim, they do not get damaged. So that explanation means that during the mitzvah itself, they will not get damaged. And on the way to do the mitzvah, let's say, nothing will happen. But he said that if he has to die, he'd rather his death come from an external factor at the time that he was involved in the mitzvah. Which means it seems that there's a certain anyan when a person dies, as he was not directly involved in the mitzvah, but during the time of the mitzvah, there's protection. And on the way there, nothing will happen, let's say, on the road itself, but externally something can happen, and it seems that's a zechud to die when you're involved in such a mitzvah. So he says, Yehi chalki mimeteh bederech mitzvah. Ve'amar Rabbi Yosef tot. Yehi chalki mimachnisei Shabbat b'Tiberia. I want my share to be with those that accept Shabbat in Tiberias, u'memotzei Shabbat b'Tzipori. And the people that exit the Shabbat in Tzipori. Tiberias, as she tells us, was in the valley. And therefore, it used to get dark early, even before Shabbat. So the people in Tiberias used to accept Shabbat always early, because they thought it was Shabbat, or they did it because they didn't want to take a risk. So he was saying, I want to be from those that accept Shabbat like in Tiberias, meaning they always accept Shabbat early, and in Tzipori was the opposite. In Tzipori, that she tells us, was on top of the mountain. And therefore, even after the sun set, it still looked light. And therefore, they would end Shabbat much later than everybody else. So therefore, what he's trying to say is, I want my shir to be with those that accept Shabbat early, before the time, and those that end Shabbat after the time. That they're mosif both ways, going in and going out. Early check-in and late check-out. V'amar Rabbi Yose said, Yeh chilki memoshibe bet ha-midrash, ve'lo mema'amide bet ha-midrash. I want my share to be with those that seat the people in the Bet HaMidrash, and not with those that cause the people to get up from the Bet HaMidrash. What does it mean? There were two jobs in the Bet HaMidrash. One job was to gather the students, to bring them in to study. So I want to have that job, to be in charge of bringing everybody in to learn. But there was another job that was given to tell the boys that it's lunchtime, and therefore, close the books, go eat lunch. He said, I'd rather be the one that brings them into the Bet HaMidrash, the Moshibe Midrash, than to be from Ma'amide Midrash, to make them stand up from the Midrash. Ba'amar Rabbi Yose said, Yeh chilki megabba'e sedaka, ve'lo memahrike sedaka. I want my shir to be on the charity collectors, but not from those that give out the charity. Which means, when it comes to collecting the charity, so that's easier, because you just have to collect it. However, giving it out is a great responsibility. Who's worthy and who's not worthy? And sometimes the charity collectors can make a mistake by giving too much to one person and denying somebody else that is in need. Rashi tells us that charity is collected with at least two people. You need two people monitoring the collection of the charity, and to dispense it you need three people in order to make sure that it's being given out responsibly. So the B.O. says, I don't want to take that responsibility of making that decision of who deserves and who does not. V'amar B.O. said, Yeh hilki, let my share be memi shechoshdin oto ve'enbo. That they suspect me of something, and I'm innocent from that suspicion. Which means, I'd rather be from those people, not that they suspect him, and he's really guilty. Let me be from those people that they suspect me of something, ve'enbo, and I'm clean, and I'm not guilty. It seems that if you get suspected, it's a kaparat avonot. So they'll embarrass me a little, so I get erased from some of my sins, and I didn't do the sin, so I'm clean, so therefore, I don't mind to be from that group. Amar a papa said, Lididi hajdan. As to me, they suspected me. The papa was talking about himself. Ve'lo havabi. But it didn't happen to me. It was false. The Mefashim explained that this was referring to a situation where the papa once lent money to a certain goya, and when he went to collect his money, so the goya framed him. She actually put a dead baby under the bed, and she told Rav Papa to sit. Rav Papa sat on the bed, and then she claimed, you killed my baby. And now already it was a big scandal, and Rav Papa was actually forced to run away for a while. So he says, it's happened to me, where they framed me for something that I did not do. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Hamesh be'ailot ba'alti. Says, I had five relations with my wife, v'natati hamisha arazim. And from those five relations, I planted five cedar trees. Meaning that from those five relations were born to me five great cedar trees, meaning tamidei hachamim, b'Yisrael in Israel, uman in Nun. Who were the five children of Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Halafta ben Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Avtilas ben Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Menachem ben Rabbi Yosef. So those are the five children. So it says, Ba'ika Vardimas. Oh, what do you mean there's a sixth child? Vardimas. What does it know? Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. Menachem and Vardimas is the same child. So what they call him Vardimas? Shepanav domin leverid. Because his face had the complexion of a rose, meaning he had a red face. So therefore they nicknamed him Vardimas, Verid. So therefore he says, I had five relations, and look what came out. So the Gemara says, the memra de Rabbi Yoseh, mitzvat ona lo kiyem. Does that mean that Rabbi Yosef did not fulfill his marital obligations? According to the halacha, a person is obligated to be with his wife a certain amount of times. He can't get married and be with his wife five times only. There's a certain onah, there's a certain commitment that the Torah says, Tamidei Achamim, once a week. So therefore, how could Rabbi Yosef say, I was only five times? So the Gemara says, Ela Ema, so read it like this. Hamesh be'ilot ba'alti v'shaniti. He says, five times I had relations and I repeated it again. Why? Because the Gemara teaches us that if a person wants to have boys, yib'ol v'yishne, he should have consecutive relations back to back, and that will produce boys. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us that the B'Yosef said, five times in my life, I was bo'ed v'shoneh, and I did it consecutively twice, and what happened? It came true what the Gemara says. I was born to me five boys. Now, the Tosafot quotes from the Yerushalmi that he says like this, that really these ladies was not his wife. These were actually Yibamot. It seems that Rabbi Yosef was in a situation where he had in his life five different opportunities to mekayem the mitzvah of Yibum. And therefore he says that Hamesh be'ilot ba'alti, I only committed five be'ilot to do the mitzvah of Yibum, but he did not do anything more. Which means regarding the Yibamot, he did not have any more relations. He only did what was mandatory to him for the mitzvah, the first bi'ah, and then already he did not anymore. So if a machloket in the Yerushalmi or the Babli, what took place here? Amar Rabbi Yosef, li'amai lo kariti li'ishti ishti. He says, I never called my wife my wife. L'shori shori. Well, I never called my ox, Ela li'ishti beti. I would always refer to my wife as my house. Because after all, she takes care of the house. The responsibility of the house and the order of the house is on the lady. Ulshori sadi. And I would refer to my ox as my field. Because where is the strength of the field? In the ox. Therefore, I would refer to my ox as my field. What do we learn from this story? That even the sihat chudin, even the mundane chatter of Tamidei Hakamim, there's wisdom behind it. Which means, the Rabbi Yosef is saying, you have to learn from the Tamid Hakim whatever they do. If you see the Tamid Hakim calling his wife Beti, say, what is he doing over there? There's reasons why he's calling it Beti. Or you see him calling the field, the ox, Sadi, so therefore you have to say, what's the reason? So even the Sihat, even the mundane things that come out of Tamid Hakim's mouths, need limud. And that's what exactly he was teaching. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef taught me, "Amai lo nistakalti b'mila sheli." He's, I never gazed at my brit mila. He was so modest that he never looked at that place. Ini, it's coming out as a contradiction. The ha'amru le'lerabbi. They once asked the bi, "Mai ta'ama karulach Rabbeinu Hakadosh? Why did you get the name Rabbeinu Hakadosh, the Holy Rabbi? Where did you get that title from?" Amar lehu, miyamai lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. He says, because I never looked at my milah. So you see over here, that since Rabbi never looked at his milah, they called him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So the question is, Rabbi Yosef, they should have called you also Rabbi Yosef HaKadosh. So what does it mean you never looked at your milah? How come you didn't get the title of Rabbi Yosef HaKadosh then? So it says, b'Rabbi milta achariti havabe. Because Rabbi had an extra additional stringency that he did. שלא הכניש ידו תחת אבנתו. He never lowered his hands beneath his belt. Which means that's how holy he was. That his hands never even went below his belt in that area of the Brit Milah. So therefore he was called the Holy One. Somebody that's holy actually is removed from any inkling of arayot, any inkling of chas v'shalom, sins like that. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef was great. He didn't look at the Milah, but he didn't get the title of Rabbi Yosef Kadosh, whereas Rabbi Yudah did. V'amar Rabbi Yosef said, Miyamai lo ra'u korot beti. Never in my life did the beams of my house see imre haluki. Imre haluki would mean the stitching of my robe. Meaning, normally when a person has a robe, right, how does he take it off? He lifts the bottom up, and now it goes inside out, right? And he lifts it over his head, and therefore the walls get to see the stitching, get to see the hem. However, Rabbi Yosef was very modest. How did he take off his garment? He would go underneath his bed first, underneath the covers, and he would lift the cloak from his head. He would lift it above his head in order that at no time was his body revealed. And therefore he says, never did the wall see the inside of my cloak, because I didn't take it off like the normal people take it off by inverting it. I lifted it off my head straight up, while my body was already underneath the covers. And therefore they're showing us how modest Rabbi Yosef was, even the Hadre Hadarim, even in his house, since he understood Shiviti Hashem Negdi Tamid, in front of God. And therefore it requires modesty even in private places. V'amar Rabbi Yosef, מימי לא עברתי על דברי חבריי. I never went against my friends' words. Meaning, if my friends would have asked me to do something, I would acquiesce. I never disobeyed something that my friends told me. יודעי אני בעצמי. He says, I know myself שאיני כהן. I'm not a כהן. אם אומרים לי חבריי עלה לדוכן, but if my friends would tell me go up to the platform and make ברכת כהנים, אני עולה, I would do that as well. Because he was very humble and he had respect for his friends, and obviously he said if they tell me to do it, they know better than me, and therefore he was a very humble man. And Tosfot says he doesn't know what the isud is exactly for a non-kohen to go up to the dukhan, unless it's the beracha, that they're not allowed to make the beracha of kohanim. If you're not a kohen, it would be a beracha lebatala. So he was saying, I know myself, I'm not a kohen, but if they would tell me to go up and even make birkat kohanim, I would do it. He's saying it in an exaggerating way, how much he humbled himself in front of his friends. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Miyamai lo amarti davar vechazarti laachorai. Never did I say something and have to retract it. What does that mean? So that she says a big chiddush over here. He says, sometimes Rabbi Yosef would be outspoken against somebody. He'd speak against somebody. And then the fellow would come to him and say, is it true you spoke about me? So Rabbi Yosef says, never did I say, no, it wasn't me. I always was honest and said, yes, I spoke those words against you. Rabbi Yosef held that that's not considered Lashon Hara. Rabbi Yosef's opinion was that anything that you would say to the person himself, so therefore by saying it away from the person is not Lashon Hara himself, because you would say it in front of him. So that she writes, and I read it inside, She'im ba mi she'amarti alav davar. If somebody came to me after I spoke about him, v'sha'al im amarti ken alav, and he asked me, did you say this about me? Lo hazarti bi lemor eno kedbarav. I would not say, no, that's not what I said. Lefish mitehila emet amarti. Because I always spoke the truth. And therefore, I never had to retract. Yeah, I spoke it because I meant it. The kasabar, and Rabbi Yosef holds, kol miltad mit amra be'apem mara. Anything that you'd say face to face to the person, lebe mishum lishna bisha. That's not considered lashon hara. Amar Rav Nachman. Nachman says, titi li. They're going to give me reward. Tekayimet gimel seudot b'shabbat. Because I kept the three seudot on Shabbat. Again, we see the importance of eating the three meals. Amar Rav Yehuda, titi li. They're going to give me olam abba. They're going to give me reward. Tekayimet ayun tefila. Ayun tefila here means that I had kavana and proper concentration in my prayers, and therefore I'm going to get rewarded. Amar Rav Huna b'Dei Rav Yehoshua, titi li. They're going to give me reward. Delo sagina dalet amot b'gilui harosh. I did not walk even four steps with my head uncovered. He always covered his head. He says, I'm going to get reward for that. Amar Rav Sheshat, titi li. They're going to give me reward. Dekayimet mitzvat tefillin. The explanation that she says is that I did not walk more than four steps without my tefillin on. The Amar Rav Nachman, titili, they're going to give me reward. The kayimet mitzvah sisit, because I fulfilled the mitzvah sisit that I did not walk for amot without a pair of sisit on, and therefore I'm going to get reward for that. Amar Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef bered Rava. Rav Yosef told Rav Yosef the son of Rava, Abuch, your father Rava, b'may zahir tafeh. What was he careful in? What was his mitzvah that he, you know, was very, very careful and meticulous in? Amar le b'sisit. He said, oh, he was very meticulous in the mitzvah of sisit. Yoma had, one day, hava kasalik bedarga. One day, he says, my father, Rava, was walking up the steps. If sik le huta. And one of the strings of his sisit got caught and tore, it ripped. And he stayed there on the steps and did not come down. Kama delo ramya, until he fixed it. Which means he did not want to even walk up the steps or walk down the steps until he was mitakenit, as she says. Ramya is he fixed it. To show you the strictness that they had from sisit, they wouldn't even go a step without wearing it. Comes again and says, "V'amar Abaye, Abaye, titili, they're going to give me reward." Dechi hazina tsurba merabbanan deshalim masechta. When I saw it, Tamir Hakam that finished the masechet, meaning he learned one of the tractates of the Talmud. He finished it. Avidna yomata ba merabbanan. He said, "I would make a party for all the rabbis, not only the one that finished it, but I would invite," as she says, "all the students in order to partake in the simcha of finishing a masechet." The Gaon Mevilna has a famous chiddush regarding the benefits of those that attend the siyum, even though they didn't actually finish it. So the Gaon said that they get credit just by partaking in the seudah v'siyum. They get credit as if they themselves finished the masechet. So therefore there's a great value to attend a siyum of a masechet. So the Gemara, the Gaon Mevilna said, if you take the word siyum, siyum is samich yud vav mem. Now we know the letter samich, if you would spell it out, is samich mem chaf. That's how you spell the letter samich. In the letter samich, you have the exposed letter, that's the samich, and then you have the hidden letters, right? The mem and the chaf. The mem and the chaf you don't see. When you write the letter samich, you just write a samich, but it's inactive letters, we'll call them, are mem and chaf. So the Gaon said, samich equals 60. Mem chaf also equals 60. That's samich. Yod is yod vav dalid. The active letter is yod, that equals 10. The inactive letters are vav dalid, that also equals 10. Then you have a vav. Vav, you spell vav, vav, vav. The active letter is 6, and the inactive letter is 6. And mem is mem, mem. The active letter is 40, and the inactive letter is 40. The Gaon Mevilna said that's what you learn by siyum. That not only does the active member get credit, but the inactive participants are equal to the active ones. And therefore they get credit. But of course, it should be said, they might get credit but that credit is in Olam Abba. But they don't enjoy the credit in this world. The fellow that actually made the siyum, he gets double credit. Of course he has his Olam Abba, but he enjoyed doing the Masechet. He enjoyed studying the Gemara. That pleasure is in this world. A guy that just comes to eat some piece of meat at a siyum, he might get some reward in Olam Abba. But the reward in this world, he doesn't get. That's what one of the Rashi Yeshivot once said. What's the difference between one that studies and one that just works all day and doesn't study? So the student said, at least the one that works and makes a lot of money, at least he has this world. Right? At least he has Olam Hazeh. And the Rosh Hashiva said, no. He says, the one that studies, not only does he get Olam Abba, but he also gets Olam Hazeh. The other guy, he gets nothing. He's bereft of Olam Abba because he didn't study. And you know what? If he doesn't study, he doesn't even have a quality of life in this world. So those that are learning, you get both. Don't think that you're depriving yourself by studying and you're giving up this world. On the contrary, those that practice the religion and learn, now they can enjoy this life. Then this life becomes Olam Hazeh, becomes Olam Abba be'Olam Hazeh. You get to already enjoy eternity. You get to start from now to enjoy. And that's what we say many times, Me'ayin Olam Abba. That the religion is like a preview of what Olam Abba is going to be like. And that's what the Rabbi Yosef said, that they're going to give him reward. Actually, it was Abaye. Abaye said they're going to give him reward. Because when he saw Siyum Masechet taking place, one of the rabbis, he would make a big party. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.